Recording. Good morning. It's the Gloucester Cast 421. We have some awesome guests. We have, no pun intended, right?
Right.
No pun intended. We have one. Sal, you've been on the podcast before, haven't you, Sal?
A while ago, yeah, many years ago. Okay. Yes.
So you don't count as a podcast virgin. Ray's been on. He's not a podcast. Actually, only we have two podcast virgins today. GloucesterCast podcast virgins. But we are going to go around. We have Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz, podcast virgin Beth Zarilli, Ray Cahill, the preeminent number one world's greatest vet in the Seaport vet is with us. Sal Zarilli, who famous filmmaker Sal Zarilli is with us. And Anne Malloy, podcast virgin.
Good morning.
Also of Neptune's Harvest fame, which is just, it just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so we have to do our duties. Podcast virgins get two questions. Beth, we're going to start with you. Okay, this is going to be another part of the game. Beth, are you familiar? Do you know what I'm going to ask you?
No.
Okay. All right.
Did I already get it wrong?
It's very telling if you don't know what I'm going to ask you. Anne, do you know what I'm going to ask you?
No idea.
Okay. I do.
But tell me right now.
So we know if you're a regular, because this is what we do with our virgins. So they would know the question and they would be prepared. We're going to see how well you answer this question because we'll grade you afterwards. No pressure. No pressure. So you have to picture yourself on death row, and the warden comes in, and he's going to give you two questions. He's going to give you a death row sub and death row meal. Sub meaning hero sandwich grinder. And it can't be homemade. It has to be at – it doesn't necessarily have to be in Gloucester, but what sub shop or deli would you go to for your death row sub? And what meal would you get at what restaurant for your death row meal?
Easy.
My sub is from Virgilio's. It's a chicken St. Joseph's.
Chicken St. Joe, okay.
Yeah, I like a chicken St. Joseph's. All right, Anne, you go for the sub. I have to think about my meal.
My sub is also Virgilio's, but it would be the Madiga steak with lettuce, tomato, and American cheese.
I think Anne gets the... gets a gold.
Those were quick and good.
I think Anne gets a gold star right there.
Yeah,
tremendous. You can't go wrong. Madiga steak is gonna when you're playing rock paper scissors.
Like yeah, no, steak trumps chicken. I get it. Yeah. I lost the first round. I'm.
Yeah. All right. No, it wasn't. It wasn't meant to be like. Yeah. But I have to give props.
Let her feel a little shame for that.
A little shame. Although I did Virgilio's. I mean, at the same place at least.
Love a good D'Estino's cheesesteak too, with extra cheese.
Absolutely, best in the country as far as
that's
I'm concerned.
Onions, peppers, and mushrooms. Well done.
They get a lot of votes. Beth, death row meal.
That's a tricky one, but I actually am going to go with lobster tacos from my place by the sea.
Oh, Rockport girl.
Yeah, totally throwing it out there, Rockport. We don't have a lot of restaurants, but those lobster tacos are awesome.
All right, good to know. Well, that's one that's you're an outlier on that one, but there's no shame.
It's a little more shame.
No, I actually did. I could have picked Gloucester restaurants, but
No. I respect that.
It's a great restaurant. They were on Gourmet show.
Phantom Gourmet, I think.
I respect the hell out of you going like on your, you know, out on a limb, because Virgilio's, D'Estino's, Tono, Franklin, these places are
Tono, yeah.
Those are obvious picks. Yep. Like I respect it. Okay, Anne, death row meal.
If I'm on death row, I'm definitely going to a really nice steakhouse, like a Morton's, Ruth Chris, something like that. And I'm getting the top, you know, $125 steak. Then I'm putting crab meat on top of it and then Bernays on top of that.
Okay, I think drop.
You might die before the penalty is executed.
Anne Malloy might be my spirit animal. No, that is tremendous. Phenomenal. But you have to pick between, you said Ruth's Chris and you said Morton's, which we have to pick one because we keep a tally and we keep a spreadsheet.
I go Ruth's Chris.
Ruth's Chris, all right. For a long time, Morton's held down my number one, and Grill 23 took over a couple of years ago. When my lovely wife, I'd be remiss, Jimmy, I would be remiss to not mention it's my beautiful wife's birthday. I was going to say the number, but it's her birthday.
No, don't. Do not.
No, I was just going to add a musical interlude. It comes to home.
That's
very nice. All right.
I love you, Caters. Yeah, thank you for that, Jimmy. That was fantastic. And Jimmy, fresh off of doing what was the one that you did at the Jimmy, what did you do at the Fisherman's Memorial Statue?
No, it was Taps.
It was Taps. Yeah, but yeah. I just didn't know the name. Yes, and you did that for a film that they're doing at 1623 Studios, right?
Yeah, what's happening is since they canceled all the events, Adam Kukuru got a hold of me, and 1623 is going to, on Monday, I think about 11 o'clock, Pat's got the information on what channel, I can't remember all that, but they asked me if I would play Taps, and they said, would we go to a memorial, and we chose the Fisherman's Memorial, so it's going to be part of it, me playing Taps on my bugle. I have a Civil War bugle I use when I play.
I saw a lot of your former students. Jimmy was a former high school band teacher. If you couldn't tell by the stereotype right there, like if you told anybody that it was a high school band teacher, like no one is going to have a problem thinking that that's the truth. So Jimmy, but I heard some of your students in the comment section when you posted the video were giving you crap because your flugelhorn was not polished.
Yes.
And that's something you would have gave them hell for in the marching band.
I think they were just letting me know about it, yes. But I was also complimented for how I held the horn out straight because I would be all over them too. Yeah, that was some of my my students.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's nice to see that, they all love you. I love how they always comment on your stuff. They like you. You really had a good reputation as a teacher.
It's a small district. You know, you're talking Rockport. Mine was K through 12. We have about maybe 1,000 kids. Graduation, we never play pomp and circumstance. We just play pomp. Oh, they're in already. Okay, and we sat down. it's a small district. We're all into it. Coaching, playing. You get to know each other. And I was fortunate. They believed in me. I believed in them. We worked on it together.
Why such a stickler for the polish? It doesn't influence the sound, does it?
No, not at all. It's just that, when you're marching and we went out and bought newer, shinier stuff because it gave extra points for the judges. When you ever look at marching bands going through, take a look at the drums, take a look at some of the horns going through. Notice they're all the same color, the same shine. That's all extra points. If you're being, efficient, you got to find something. So
who knew?
They knew we fundraise like crazy to get this stuff. So that's why they're giving me a little bit of crap that I picked up a crappy one.
There you go. All right, let's get right into the awesome Gloucester and awesome Rockport. So it's expanded. Is it Awesome Foundation or something? What is it called?
Yeah, it's the Awesome Foundation.
And is this a national or global?
Yeah, it's international. There's 91 chapters in 14 countries. It was founded, I think, 2009 in Boston. So it's, the roots are local for sure. And we've been, we've had two chapters on Cape Ann since 2013.
Oh, the Rockport one's been since 2013?
Gloucester was founded 2013. I think Rockport was 2015.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. The Gloucester one gets more press. Whoever's doing the social media for the Rockport one needs to step up their game.
We're not as often, remember, or not every month.
I'm only teasing. I'm only teasing you because Sal put me up to this. Sal said,
"Yeah, this isn't Good Morning Rockport. Remember the name of the show."
Play nice.
Sal said, "No mercy on Beth." No mercy. But can you what for the people? I understand what I think I know what it's all about. But for the refresher course for the listeners, can you explain the premise behind the Awesome Foundation?
Someone want to take that?
Oh, you can take it.
Yeah. Oh. So the way it works, generally, some chapters do it a little bit different. Gloucester and Rockport are a little bit different from one another. But generally, the premise is a small number of people living in a community pool together $1,000. Often it's monthly. Sometimes it's quarterly, depending on the size of the community. And then that $1,000 is then, we call it a micro grant. It's essentially a gift that we give to someone or some group in the community that's doing something that we think is going to improve the community or make life, local life, more awesome. It's very, very focused on grassroots initiatives. And we try to support, you know, ideas that might not be able to get funding from other more mainstream sources. And we really want to help people who have an idea or they're trying to get something off the ground, you know, give it life and make it sustainable and actually bring it to fruition. So we're really focused on local impact on sort of small scale initiatives, generally speaking.
So these gifts are not randomly given out. Is pitch night still a thing? Beth, you want to take this, Beth?
Sure, I'll take this for Rockport. Pitch night is still a thing. We actually had a challenge that was we were in the middle of a challenge when the pandemic hit. So the proposals from that challenge were not pandemic related because it hadn't actually happened yet. And so we actually decided as a group, we had decided to give one pandemic, just an immediate response as a group. We kind of, without a pitch night, we just as trustees ourselves kicked around some things that we thought would be awesome to give to the community during the pandemic. So we did that in March. But then we also had to vote as a group to just kind of do a little business as usual. And could we do that on Zoom? And so we actually did have a pitch night on Zoom. And we even had a breakout room where the trustees went over into the breakout room to vote. And then we came back into the main Zoom room and we actually gave out $1,000. And that was actually to a local teacher at Rockport High School. Dr. Waller is in the middle of writing another book and he needed $1,000 to complete his project. So, so yes, we still do Zooms, but with the pandemic challenges, no, we're doing that in a small group setting with just the trustees because it's hard enough to decide who to give the money to. So it's a little
easier. Was that Sue Waller's brother and they were doing that art book for their brother's art?
This is a book on the stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a physics teacher over at Rockport High School. We had a project and it was pretty awesome actually. And so we gave him $1,000 in the midst of all this.
Nice. I want to go back a little bit though, to explain how a normal pitch night works. Cause we're assuming that people are.
Yeah, I can explain. Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
So generally the way it works is we allow people to submit proposals to us through the Awesome Foundation. Both chapters have their own pages there. The proposal is very basic. It's not a really complex thing. We're not asking for lots of supporting evidence or documentation. It's really meant to be streamlined and efficient for people. And then we have a deadline. Gloucester's proposal deadline is always the last day of the month. Rockport's varies depending on when we have our community challenges. Then after that deadline, you know, we typically receive say 8 to 15 proposals from people in the community. We then vote to determine a top three. And then those top three get invited to what was an in-person pitch night, where they come and they make a pitch. Like they, it's a little bit like Shark Tank. They try to convince us, why us? And then we get an opportunity to ask them questions. And then we deliberate there in that meeting, you know, privately, and then come back and actually give the cash out
to
the person.
I think it's super exciting. I it sucks because I always want to go to these things because I think it would be very intense and awesome. And I haven't gone to one yet for whatever reason. But I just imagine, Ray, I'm gonna go to you now. Like, what is it like when you have some young child who might have a great idea or whatever, and then you have like some business guy, you know what I mean, that already, you know, like, how do you make, do you just solely go on what do you think is in your mind? I'm gonna go like this. In your mind, are you putting aside the characteristics of the participant and just saying like this $1,000 is going to have the biggest impact with that proposal? Or are you like, or does this beautiful little cherub of a you know, kid that, you know, with the puppy dog eyes and everything like that, you know, do they get preferential treatment because they're cuter than some like 52-year-old blogger?
How many times have you broken hearts, Ray? That's the question.
How many kids have you disappointed?
Too many, far too many. Well, you know, a lot of the proposals have come out of, you know, the middle school, high school in Rockport. I'm part of our awesome Rockport, and the kids bring it. If you're part of pitch night and there's a group of kids next to you with their proposal, I would not want to be up against the kids. They bring it. It's great because it is fun to see, you know, it gives you faith in our future to see these kids put their passion into these ideas. They'll get help from adults in the background, you know, like they're showing up having prepared and really well prepared. You know, we've done waste reduction compost projects at the school. There was one. It was a gardening, you know, initiative at the school, and so like a hydroponics type of thing. So these kids come up with some great ideas. So the fact that it's a cute little cherub versus the 52-year-old, you know, with it, it's all good. We love all of it, and I don't think one has an advantage over the other. It's whatever, to me personally, it's whatever is the most grassroots, the most sustainable, the most impactful project. That's where I'm going to put my vote.
There you go.
See, that's what I was going to ask is for the people that are listening, and right now the wheels are turning saying, wow, I think, you know, I may share this with someone. Are you recommending a certain outline to follow, or just kind of bring it and we'll listen? Is there a certain timeline? You know, what do you recommend, guys?
I think it, for Rockport, it's, you know, I think it's what's going to have, like Ray was saying, like the greatest kind of impact. If it's going to impact, you know, three people, or is it going to impact 300? We tend to try to look at those types of things. And how impactful is that $1,000? Is it a part of a $20,000 project? And we're just going to be kind of lost. Not that we wouldn't necessarily give to that, but, you know, is the $1,000 going to make it possible for you to do this? Or are we just kind of another revenue stream for you, right? So I would say any age group, we love to see any age group coming to us. And because we don't go every month, we do sometimes have to look at what's time sensitive for right now and what's time sensitive for like 6 months from now. And maybe we might encourage you to come back at another time, but not always, right? It really depends. It's really dependent upon.
There's a lot of factors. There's a lot of factors.
Go ahead. Yeah. I was just going to ask Anne if she agrees with this. For Gloucester, we're pretty wide open in terms of what we'll consider fundable. We don't really have like a group mind around what we would consider to be like worthy of our funds. Very, very open. And we do a lot of mind changing in our group. So you might start thinking you're going to support this particular project because it aligns with your values and what you think. And then you listen to all 20 trustees explain their point of view on it. And by the time it's time for you to vote, you've done a complete 180 in your own thinking about what you're going to support just because you hadn't thought about it in the ways
of trust. It's like a jury. It's like a jury deliberating.
Yeah,
really,
just,
I guess it, really yeah, is
part a of bit. Part of that pitch night is actually, and both chapters do this, that when we go into the other room after listening to three pitches, everyone gets a minute, and it's a timed, uninterrupted minute. And like Sal said, you might be like, I know exactly what I'm going to say. I know exactly who I'm voting for. And by the time the circle comes around to you, you've totally changed your mind based on what other people are saying.
Do some people pass on their minute? Like they are, because they don't need to, they feel like they don't need to deliberate?
Sometimes it's, in our group, it's kind of uncommon, but sometimes people will just say, or they'll just say who they're voting for, which they don't need to say. But sometimes people will just say, like our last pitch, people were just kind of coming in and saying what they thought out loud.
All right, I'm going to start with Ann because I have to go down and take care of something. But I want each one of you, there's four of you other than Jimmy and Pat. I would like you to talk about just briefly, maybe a couple minutes, about which was the favorite project that you funded. That which one out of since 2013 sticks in your mind as like you thought was that $1,000 came back to the community 100-fold, whatever it happens to be. Ann, we'll start with you. We'll go to Ray, the Sal, and then Beth. All right?
All right.
I always love the O'Malley ones and the kid ones. They are definitely the cutest, and they have amazing ideas. So I really am partial to those.
Is there one particular, Ann? Is there one that comes to mind?
There was ones that they did like an exercise bike, so the kids with the heebie-jeebies that can't sit still could actually like ride a bike in class, a stationary bike, to help them focus, and it created energy that they could use to power their computers. So that was a big one. And then we did an Earth Day challenge where Neptune's Harvest actually added an extra 1,000. So that was near and dear to my heart. And that went to PAL, which is People Against Litter. And they are an amazing group of people that pick up trash and encourage people to sign up to clean up in front of your house. And if everybody just cleaned up in front of their house, there would be so much less litter. So that spawned a huge amount of outreach in the community. They had a parade float. They passed out the little yellow bags to pick up trash with some seed packets. And that's still an ongoing thing. So that was a lot of bang for our buck with that one. So those would be my top ones.
That's good to hear that it's been sustained.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say that one of the things you look for is it being sustainable. So that clearly was.
Right. That's a good point.
Okay, who wants me next?
I could talk about one of my favorite. There's I think I'm hard pressed to pick a favorite, but one of the coolest things that we've been able to do through Awesome Rockport, and this was a joint initiative, and it's been done I think three times, right, Beth, Sal?
Yeah, foundation.
The Pink Envelope Initiative. It's a pay it forward where Awesome Rockport and Awesome Gloucester came together, pooled to a grant from each group. And then we had printed up these pink envelopes with these cards inside that just nice graphic, and it said, be awesome. And we put money, just different amounts of money, cash, in these envelopes. And we went and we just distributed them. We went out early one morning, you go out early in the morning, and you just hide them throughout the community. You put it in a tree, you hide it under a bench, you stick it on a on a bulletin board somewhere. And these bright pink envelopes that people just come across, open it up, and there could be $5, there could be, what was 50?
I think we may have done 50 the first year, yeah.
You know, and the envelope just, the card in the envelope just said, please do something awesome with this money, whatever you think is whether you need it to pay a bill, whether you want to pay for, coffee for the person behind you. Try to do something nice for somebody else or for yourself. And if you don't mind, tell us about it. Come on our social media websites and tell us what you did, or shoot us an email. What did you do? How were you awesome with that money? And, there were over 130 envelopes each time, just distributed throughout the community. You know, people were paying bills. People were, there was that, Sal was reminding me, there was the one story of a woman who, not of many means, was taking care of her niece and nephew who were recently orphaned. And she was just out with them, finds an envelope, there's this money, and she gets to buy them an ice cream and have just a moment with these two kids. So so that was, I think, just a community-wide hug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was great.
That was a great one.
Remember that. Sal, what do you have?
Yeah, I like Ray. I don't know that I could boil it down to one. You know, we're up, we funded 114 projects over the years, so there's quite a few to choose from. I would say there's some that stand out historically, but the things that we funded most recently around the pandemic, I'm really proud of the way our groups have responded and put our money where our mouth is and really tried to help people on the front lines. The grant that Awesome Rockport just gave out to Denmark, the nursing home in Rockport, they're going to buy Fire 8 tablets so their residents can have face-to-face communications with their family and loved ones. That's an amazing one. The one that Awesome Gloucester just gave out was to a nurse who, after she completes a long shift, she then goes and tends to the homeless members of our community, trying to provide for their needs and try to get them to engage with healthcare so she can have a dialogue with them. And that's all volunteer, and she was pulling money out of her own pocket. So the idea that we could support somebody who's doing beautiful work like that, you know, I really feel proud of those. So the local response we've had to the pandemic, I think I feel really proud of our groups for how we've done that. So those stand out to me.
Beth?
So, well, Sal took Denmark. I was just going to do that because I dropped off money just yesterday. So, and they were just so thankful, and it was so great because we knew that they.
How about Sal? Wait a second. How about Sal? Like he was quick to shit on the Rockport ideas, but then that was the one he picked up on. He stole your thunder, Beth. How do you feel about Sal stealing your thunder?
Hopefully, my strategy wasn't there. But in his defense, he is a trustee of both chapters, so I think that it should be allowed. It's okay. We'll let it go. But I was going to mention Denmark, but I also would mention the other one we did in the pandemic. And like everyone's saying, you know, all of these ideas have obviously been really awesome. But we gave to, the very first thing we gave to was the Rockport Ambulance here in Rockport. And for, you know, a lot of locals here, they may not realize that that is a big lifeline for the elderly and the needy and the disabled. And they see needs in the community that other people don't see. And not only just medically, but they'll see, you know, they'll see people who are in need of food, of clothing, of bills that aren't being paid, and they pool their own money at times. And so they came to a pitch night and we gave them $1,000 that night. But when the pandemic hit, we knew that group was going to really be suffering the most and have the most need immediately for our community. So we gave $1,000 to them. But in terms of actually just, you know, we also do these things, Sal likes to call them guerrilla philanthropy, where we pick something and we just kind of do it. The coolest thing I think Rockport has done on that front, there's been some great things, but the coolest thing I think was there was a old nasty wall behind the Rockport Library, and we would walk by it constantly. And Sal would always say, wouldn't it be great if there was a mural on this wall? And we did that. So if you ever are behind the Rockport Library, Josh Falk was the artist. He had total free reign to come up with the idea. And it's very magical, like the lighting on it. It's just the ocean. But it is spectacular, and it improves, I think, the lives of people around here every day when you walk by it or you happen to go by the library. So that would be, in terms of a global impact for this small community, I think that's one of the biggest ones.
Very cool. And so Sal, I don't know if we spoke about this on air. So how can people get involved? Say they wanted to say, you know, you only have so many trustees. Do trustees come and go?
Yeah, I see people move, you know, people's financial situations change, their lifestyle circumstances change. So we've had some turnover, but the majority of trustees in both chapters are years in. You know, we've got trustees, I think there's 6 Gloucester trustees who have been there 7 years. That's like, we're talking $4,000+ they pulled out of their pockets in some situations. So the way people get involved is, we're not like a stringent gatekeeping organization. We ask people if we have a waiting list in Gloucester, and We have a need actually for one trustee in Rockport. So if people are looking to get involved, they can reach out to us. All of our contact information for both chapters available on the Awesome Foundation website. We also maintain a Facebook presence and our contact information is there as well. So if people are interested, they can just reach out and then we have a dialogue. The big thing is if you're going to participate in our group, you have to be okay with the fact that there will be occasions where the group is funding something that maybe your heart wasn't completely into. Mm-hmm. And you just have to have faith in the process, trust in the people, and know that eventually, you know, things that you really want to fund will get funded. Mm-hmm. So if you can tolerate that, and it's not like it's super hard, but some people we've, you know, in that process of having that dialogue have said, well, yeah, that doesn't quite feel right for me.
Yeah.
And we're trust-based, you know, so that's a tough thing for some people to wrap their head around too. Once we give the money out, we're not like a formal grant organization says you get a, you know, check in and we have all these measures you have to show your meeting to show impact. It's, we give you the money and then we wish you good luck and you don't have to report back ever. Of course, a lot of people do, but it's not a requirement. So that's a tough thing for some people to, you know, tolerate too, that kind of trust, that deep trust, just giving money away.
Is money?
Yeah, and we actively invite everybody back as well. So the groups that win, you know, the one of the taglines is, "Hey, if we're about to announce the winner, and if you're not receiving the grant tonight, it's not a no. It's just not right now. So please reapply."
It's not your turn. Do it again.
Right.
I feel like you guys may have a lawsuit because I think you started before Shark Tank. I think you guys might be able to. Here's a question for the trustees. Is the money that they give, is that tax deductible?
No.
No, it isn't. That's interesting.
It's pure gift.
A pure gift.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would think that like, there must be a reason for it, but like, it would be great that this is a thing that it would be fantastic if they allowed you to deduct it because it is going towards much better thing than you could ever imagine, right?
It would change the motivation, and I'm not sure that fits in with what they're. To me, that doesn't sound like.
How does it change? Explain to me how it changes the motivation.
Well, taking a tax deduction for handing money over is maybe that's why you're doing it. Maybe that's your primary motivation.
No, whereas you don't make money just because you get a tax deduction doesn't mean that's. You're making money on the thing.
Not every proposal.
No, I don't mean that.
Every proposal we fund, though, is nonprofit. We've helped little businesses get started in both chapters.
We bought a teenager a large chess set. You know those supersized chess sets?
Yeah.
He could just show up at community events and challenge people.
Right. We saw him down at the block parties all the time with Rick Dowsett.
That's right. Yeah, so there's certain things, like we're talking about, you know, the pandemic response and being responsible citizens in our community, but we also look for things that are a little bit outside the norm, you know, things that would not get funded elsewhere. We're open to that sort of thing.
It's so brilliant. And you know what, when I started the blog 13 years ago, Barbara Keown, who owns the Dress Code downtown Gloucester, she said something to me, and I must bring this up once a year on the podcast, but she said something to me at the time that she's very into Buddhism and stuff. And she said one of the tenets of Buddhism and one of the sayings was the most selfish thing you can do is to give. That's what she said to me. This is probably 2 months into doing the blog. It would be lucky if we had 60 people checking it out a day, right? Now we have 50,000, you know, we had 68,000 2 days ago, Pat, by the way.
Wow.
But she said this to me at the time, and I had no idea what, you know, like, but so then over the course of the years, you know, we do so much of like promoting for people and giving of time and stuff like that on the podcast that, It totally came together for me. When you give, whether it's financial or time or something like that, you feel so great that the lesson is you're really being selfish because you end up feeling fantastic about it. So the people that are given $4,000, like the trustees that have given $4,000, it's very generous. I guarantee you that the $4,000 that they gave, they would give it 100 times over again because they feel so, what they have gotten in return in positive energy and how great they feel about it is probably far surpasses that dollar amount. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
I think you're right.
The most selfish thing you can do is to give.
Driving home from the meetings every, you know, once a month after the meeting, driving home, you feel so good. You really do.
I'm sure you do.
You know, it's amazing how many things that people apply for that you're like, what? The city or the state doesn't fund this already? Yeah, it seems right. So crazy. Yeah.
It must be reaffirming to know there's so many good projects potentially out there, that there's so much innovation going on and thinking for the good of others. And, you know, that must be very gratifying also.
Well, I think about the one where they were trying to salvage a cemetery. Remember the one where the people came and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to fix the stones of this, you know, this very old cemetery that the grass had grown up on and people didn't even know was there. It was like, it was amazing. That's a perfect example of something you would assume that would be funded by some other funding source. And I was actually a member of Gloucester actually when we did that one. And that lives with me, that we actually helped to restore some of those tombstones.
It's like the chicken and the egg. Like maybe these ideas never come to fruition because if they didn't know about Awesome Gloucester or the Awesome Foundation, Awesome Rockport, they wouldn't put their mind into action to come up with these ideas in the first place. You know what I mean? Like it's the money.
We would love to play that. We would love to think that we play that role where there's maybe the knowledge that there's a group that would give you $1,000 to do something.
Spurred you to think.
Can spark you to think differently about stuff that you're seeing and experiencing in your daily life. Yeah. That's really would be lovely if that was the case. And I think it is to some degree.
Yeah, and it's also nice to kind of reward people who've been doing things. Like, and that person I'm thinking about in Magnolia, the woman that does all that.
The litter?
Yes.
Yeah, she's awesome. Out of her own time, she's up and down Magnolia Ave and all these different neighborhoods, just picking up trash, cleaning up the cemetery in Magnolia. Out of her own time, I mean, she spends a lot of time. And we helped her to buy tools, rakes, gloves, bags, mowers.
Awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. Oh man, I'll
just
tell you.
Picking one is the hardest part too. Every week, every month, you just want to give it to all three. Usually, they're all so good.
I'm sure. How many? What percentage of people, roughly, you think come back if they don't get it the first time around?
A lot. Maybe it's 30% come back. We encourage everybody to come back. And in Gloucester, of the 92 that we've given us so far, it's 6 or 7 that have come back at least twice, some 3 times. Well, I think one group 4 times came back and eventually won.
I pitched to Austin Gloucester. I think it was at least 3 times before I got it. I was doing sticks for the Gloucester girls high school program when we were just starting it back.
Ice hockey.
And it took me a few times, at least I think it was 3 times I had to come back. You know,
your pitch really improved over the.
Yeah, I had to work on it.
You honed your skills.
Right, exactly. It often is who you're up against. Someone may have been more time sensitive. Someone may have greater need. That's why we say please come back, because if you made it to the top three, it's because we all thought you were awesome. It just is like Ray said. It's not a no. It's just not a right now.
Right.
The woman one time, she was pitching and she heard another pitch and thought it was so much more worthy. She's like, just don't vote for me, please. Remember that?
That's fantastic.
That speaks to the true nature of the project.
Yeah.
Ray, have there been any animal initiatives that have been funded?
Yep. Jody Swenson, right?
Yeah, through Awesome Gloucester, yeah.
Yeah. She
not through Awesome Rockport.
Animals, and she got a grant.
Jody Swenson, what's the name of her organization? I forget what it is.
I think it's Cape Ann Wildlife. Something.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Cape Ann Wildlife, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, they do amazing work.
Yeah, well, And Pat and Jimmy, you did something. Did you do a rescue or something? You helped out with Dr. Cahill, well, right?
Yeah, just a little minor thing, really. An injured gannet needed transport to. Right now, my mind is blank on what animal specialty place I took him, but it's just
was
a small
the wildlife center at Tufts, maybe.
Yes, that was it. And people said to me, like, why would you do that? I'm like, it just, well, like Joey was just saying, it felt good to help out.
Did it poop all over your car?
It did not poop all over my car. He wasn't very good company, actually, in the car. But I as I said, I turned on NPR to keep him calm.
As far as, what do you mean by not good company? Like, what was he doing that was bad?
He wasn't talking to me. He was just sleeping, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
No squawking, no drama, no.
He wasn't an adorable little kitten like DC.
He was kind of adorable, honestly. But not like DC, no. Not quite like DC.
Not that level of cuteness.
He wasn't appreciative of my attention in any way.
Well.
And by the way, for the people who just joined in and listening, she's not talking about me.
So it's great that you did that, because a lot of those critters need that extra push to get somewhere else. So thanks for doing that, Bess.
Yeah, no problem. I would do it again. It was very interesting.
Nice.
I'm gonna do this right now. I have to pin Pat and Jimmy to the front for 1 second.
Here,
spotlight video. All right, Jimmy, can you stand up and display this outfit you have on today, please?
As long as you don't show all of it, because I don't have pants on. No, I'm only kidding.
So what is this? Is this like your Miami 1976 Miami shirt? What are we working with here, Jimmy?
This is me showing everyone that I'm retired and I'm going to complain about the government and my pants are up really high. And I did not go down south. I went to my heaven, and I'm over here.
He has white socks and sandals on.
Yeah, I'm, you know.
All right.
This is from Bananas, isn't it?
Yeah, I got it from Bananas. It was an outfit I saw.
You look ready for the weekend with that shirt. It's party time. It's go time.
Exactly. It's go time. I'm ready to start.
I was wondering if you had the matching pants, or if they were the shorts, the super short shorts, like the ones that, like,
I don't have the Tommy Magnum shorts, okay? I'm not wearing the Thomas Magnum shorts.
You do have the mustache. The love, as Pat refers to it, the love brush.
Yeah.
Are they coming? Is this your bedroom you're in?
Yeah, that's where all the magic happens.
It's got the best light for the Zoom.
Right. That's what they say.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just happy we haven't been thrown off of here yet.
And I'm so glad to finally meet all you guys. And thank you for coming into our house here. Won't you be my neighbor?
Just in case you were wondering, their door is purple. They do have the purple door.
Okay, I'm afraid to ask what that means.
That's the swingers. That's how you know the swingers. That's if you're from Rockport. There's that big thing in Rockport, isn't it?
We are off the rails, man.
I heard that Rockport had a huge swinger community, and the ones that had the purple doors. That's how you knew. Am I wrong here? Is this
that's all news to us. That's changing the feeling.
I just want to say.
Being here. Yeah, just so happens I'm doing purple. That's a
George Blue.
Okay, Sal. I got you, Sal. I got you. Don't worry, Sal. I was wondering why they moved to Rockport. Now I know. Because he has this mad love for Gloucester, but like they end up in Rockport.
I didn't see any purple doors in Gloucester. I don't know.
I was just saying, maybe he likes the color purple. Leave him alone.
They got that going for them. All right. We'll get off of that. Listen, awesome folks, you can stay. But and is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we end your segment?
Yeah, just one thing is we are constantly open to proposals. So Gloucester, the deadline is the last day of every month. In Rockport, we decide that sort of on an ad hoc basis as we go. But when in doubt, submit. We're constantly monitoring. So getting some proposal submissions is the only way we can do what we do. So we need proposals to be awesome. So and get
what
them
is,
in.
What is the website that you want people to go to?
Awesomefoundation.org.
Okay. All right, I'll put that
in.
And
if you want to be a trustee, if you're interested in becoming a trustee to get on the wait list at Gloucester or potentially even being one in Rockport, you can go to, on Facebook, there's a site for each of them. There's an Awesome Rockport page, there's an Awesome Gloucester page. You can privately message us through that and say that you have an interest, and we can go from there.
That is fantastic. Are you guys planning on hanging out, or do you have someplace to go?
I got to go to work.
I got to get to work.
No problem at all. Thank you guys for being on. I really appreciate it. I got the link in there. And it's going to take a little while. We didn't get to go live, but I am recording this right now. So you'll be able to, by 8 o'clock tonight, it'll be up on the Good Morning Gloucester for people.
Hey, Beth.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Beth, thanks for everything you're doing teaching-wise. Before we started, you were talking some of your stories, and God bless you, and thanks for everything.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, great guys. To meet you all.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having us, Joey.
All right.
Thanks, Joey. That was great.
Thank you. You got it.
Thanks, Joey.
We'll see you guys. One by one. Bing, bing, bing.
Well, that's an awesome project.
Oh, yeah.
It is an awesome project. No pun intended. Like it's the easy thing that rolls right off the tongue. If we were smarter... If we were more eloquent with our English, we would come up with some other adjective, but we just come up with awesome because it makes sense and it fits.
Wicked. It's a wicked friend.
Pat, you and Jimmy Tito'd my wife.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did.
And we enjoyed every moment of it. I want everyone to know that.
We wanted her to have a teetotally great birthday.
Teetotal. Well... Teetotal. So we'll go back to the premise of it. So there's these great Facebook groups, and I couldn't find the Gloucester one where it started of being wined. I don't know if that was just something that's like national or
on
Facebook. So there's no Gloucester chapter of being wined. Or if there is, people can write in and we'll link to it. But there is Beer Me Bro. That's one where it's a local thing, and you go into this group, and you put your name and address and what you like for snacks, and people may or may not randomly drop off beer and your favorite bar snacks at your door anonymously or whatever, or maybe, and then you pay it forward. But Kate, not being so much of a beer drinker, well, I can't say she's not a wine drinker because she's a wine drinker, but she's mainly a Tito drinker. And she wrote on Facebook a couple of nights ago, what about being Tito'd? What about being Tito'd? So why don't you take over right here, Pat, and I'll come right back.
Well, we knew that Kate's birthday was coming up, and so we went to Audrey's and got a bouquet of spring flowers. And then we bought a few Tito's nips and tucked them into the bouquet and left them at the house. And it was one of the really warm days this week. So, I wanted to text her right away and say, they're out on your deck because the flowers weren't going to last very long out in that heat. But that was fun. And she was totally not expecting to find nips in her spring birthday bouquet. But, or maybe she was, I don't know, but regardless, we were glad that it was a nice surprise for her. And
yeah, well, we were discussing maybe getting a little branch, like a little tree in a pot, and then we were going to hang the Tito's off of there.
Yeah.
But we weren't sure if there was a spot that you had planted already or, thinking of your backyard because you have such a nice yard, guys. And, so we just went, look,
but flowers who doesn't like to have fresh flowers in the house now and again? So that's all that we did. And we were glad that it was well received. And happy birthday, Kate. We're really happy. You have a beautiful day for your birthday today. I hope you're doing something special.
Yeah, it's a Cater's weekend. That's what Joey told me. It's a Cater's weekend. That's
awesome. Oh, I keep saying awesome. I don't really mean to. I'm going to have to be getting my thesaurus out and checking some other words we can use. But yeah, it was fun. It was like one of the, like Joey was talking about, just going out and doing and planning it and getting the flowers and getting the nymphs and putting it together and delivering it. It was all just fun. So we got more enjoyment out of it perhaps than Kate even did. So that was awesome. So for people who are celebrating birthdays in quarantine, I'm sorry. But if you're an adult, that's one way to have fun.
Do you know that Joey left and he hasn't heard one word that we said?
I know. We're being so kind. And could we just talk about him?
Okay. Well, we have to switch back.
He's back.
And he's going to put the headphones on.
All right.
So then, and that's all that we have to say about that.
You guys killing yourself to fill time? Are you killing yourself to fill time? Was it that painful?
It was a little painful, but I'm hoping your viewers stuck with it.
All right. I have a few things I want to mention. Kate and I and the kids had Beauport, the restaurant at Beauport, 1606, their takeout last night. They have a new executive chef.
Oh.
And it was outstanding. I have pictures on the blog. And so they're having these kind of like group meals. Like you could do two meals for two or meals for four. And then they have some, you know, some sandwiches. And I'm telling you, everything that we got, the kids devoured it. We devoured it. We got filet mignon and a red wine reduction. And it was cooked perfectly. The desserts, they had death by chocolate cake and this mixed berry tart. Lights out. You have to try it.
Do you feed D at all?
DC does not get human food. My sister feeds her dog only human food. Like she only feeds it salmon, like high end salmon. We're not crazy people. We feed it cat food. So I don't know what I should have asked Ray when I had him on. Like she really likes the wet food, and she kind of, yeah. And it's a little bit more expensive for the wet food. So I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do there. The Tano is Tano. I want to mention Tano because they're doing takeout and they have like some brisket and some other barbecue items on their thing.
We have an order for pickup this weekend that chicken breasts.
Ooh.
They have breaded chicken breasts and we ordered haddock, I think. We did.
Okay.
Two of you, honest to God. So we have I want to mention, so far we know the Horrors Parade is canceled. The fireworks
right.
are canceled. The June Fiesta is definitely off. But I've been checking almost daily. The Schooner Festival is still scheduled, which gives some hope.
Some hope. There's a couple of other summer festivals that are still on the calendar. The Waterfront Festival is still on the calendar.
That's outdoors, and that's something that I think that you could manage social distancing. I would be surprised if that got canceled. I hope. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. But let's hope.
And the farmers markets, I believe, are still being held. Coming up, they'll be starting up very soon.
Cool.
What was that other event that was still on the books? Let me look and see if I can find it quick here. But yeah, no, I mean, it's hopefully not going to be a totally lost summer. Partly it will be for sure. But I guess we'll see what comes.
Well, we'll check that out.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. The only reason I wanted to cut this a little short is because I know I have to take this video and upload it to YouTube. And I've had in the past, if we've gone over an hour or whatever, and I'm not sure when we started, then it like doesn't allow me to update it. And after doing all that and those people showing up, I don't.
Yeah, no, we don't have to take.
I don't want to mess up their segment. So I'm going to end it right here. It's GloucesterCast 420.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend if we don't see you before.
Yep.
421.
421. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Pat. And for the awesome Gloucester people, thank you for coming in. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great way. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you to our veterans. Thank you to all the Pauline and Ringo Tarr and all the people.
Flag on the boulevard looks fantastic.
Thank you to the flags. Thank you to Generous Gardeners, the tulips. Everybody's talking about how fantastic it looks. And we really appreciate everything that the veterans have done for our country. And Generous Gardeners are doing, and Ringo and Pauline Bresnahan to get those flags on the boulevard. It warms the heart.
It does.
All right. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you.
All right, bye.